G'day listeners, you're here with Benny Banksy and Boydy, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy.
Now, we are guessing you're not just listening to this podcast for our jokes. You are listening because you are serious about your NBL fantasy.
But how serious are you? Are you serious enough to compete in a league where three out of the four teams that made finals were ranked in the top 15 overall?
Are you serious enough that you want to get the advanced stats to win your home league?
Do you want to take part in fantasy banter from a group chat that includes multiple top 10 finishing coaches and Benny and Banksy?
Are you interested in winning the entire NBL fantasy competition?
Well, like the last two winners of NBL fantasy, you should consider becoming a Patreon supporter.
With prices of $1, $5 and $7 per month, find the level of support that suits you best with no ongoing commitment.
Group chat, advanced stats,
weekly newsletters, cheat sheets,
Patreon leagues with prizes, and Banksy's Captains exclusive from round 4.
Head to our website and click the link, or head directly to www.patreon.com/basketballblokes.
G'day there, it's Zach, also known as the Fez, coach of the Fez Monkeys. I gotta say, the best part of being a Patreon supporter is the ever so helpful Basketball Blokes community. Whether it be team advice, injury news, or Boydie's gifts, the Discord chat has it covered. Also, quite handy for those pesky last minute player withdrawals.
Hey guys, Denna Melrose here, coach of OK Then. And my favourite part about being a Patreon with the Basketball Blokes is all the data and stats they send through. It's worth far more than they charge, and it couldn't be more handy.
Hi everybody, my name's Ruby and I'm the coach of the McValentines. My favourite thing about being a Patreon supporter is the pre-season cheat sheet, and knowing that I'm going to get my team off to the best start, and the Discord chat, where everyone helps me see sense after I get a little trade wild.
Hey, I'm Watto, and I'm the coach of the Coogee Hornets. If you want to get all the stats, have some great banter with all those like-minded fantasy individuals, make sure you get on board with the Basketball Blokes and become a Patreon.
All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Do we like cheese and Pinot now that Wetzel chose to go? Or with a sieve and some Frenchmen, can the pretzel raise his dough? The defending champs signed Dalla the Dover. Mojave's still the next star, but will he supernova? There are makers and hunters and cooks for the Kings, but will it end up in championship rings? Harvey's floating around again. He'll be picking Roland with Big Juke Reef and two blokes named Froling. We love Big Will that thrills and Kai Soto from the fills, and Big Zim on the rim with Machado feeding him. Will the bullets be a force with Sobey and Tyrell when the law's headed west? Only time will tell. So without further ado, we're back for NBL 22. G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Another pod, another special guest, honorary basketball bloke, Denham Melrose, coach of the OK Then. Denham, thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to it.
Beautiful. And I think most of our listeners would know you were the winner of the NBL fantasy for NBL 21. So congrats again, mate. I know we spoke to you after the season last year.
Thank you very much.
See the gold chains around your neck at the moment, mate. So they're looking very good. Very, very nice. Sloan-esque, yes. You have got your shirt on, though, which is good today. So tonight we're going to be doing a predictions pod, with the one we'd like to do before every season and go with our calls, et cetera. So I guess we're going to put you in the hot seat first each time, Denham. Sorry about that. So first of all, we're going to go with the mildly bold call. Let's go for it.
So my mildly bold call this year is I think Scott Machado finishes with a top three average of any player. I think that Cairns are going to be a side that don't compete a heap, and so I think he's going to be carrying a massive, massive load as well as McCall. I think he's going to be feeding guys like the Zim. And I think his average, like he's going to double-double with assists a lot this year. I think he's going to be up there. In saying that, I don't know if you can pick him because of the schedule, but I think he's going to be right up there.
So you're saying a return of the three import rule means Machado's going to go back up to that 48-ish points here. I think he averaged in NBL 20 for fantasy.
Yeah, I think he can almost push 50.
Don't mind that at all, Denham. Banksy here. And obviously we know there's a lot of guards, particularly the new guards to the league, the million-dollar import guards that we are interested in this season, as opposed to past seasons where we're more interested in those big men. But I don't mind that prediction. And obviously Machado, a bit of a veteran these days, only averaging 29.5 points per game in the blitz, but I don't think with someone like Machado we'd take any interest in that. He'd be in second gear, no doubt.
Yeah, I feel like he's like the Dane Swan. He doesn't need to play preseason. He doesn't care.
Well, that was my concern. He does look like that a bit, actually, Scotty Machado. Ben Neer, thanks for joining us, Denham. Now, when you sent this through as a mildly bold call, I thought Machado top three. I thought that was gonna be top three point guards, and I honestly thought, even at the point guard position, that was a mildly bold call, just because, like, I think the fantasy community in general is kind of off him. But top three overall, that's I can't wait to get you later, Cole. But yeah, very good.
This will no doubt come back to bite me. But yeah, I think you're right. I think most people have cooled on him. I don't think I've heard much from anyone about starting him or even picking him at any point through the year. But I just get the feeling that, you know, offensively, they're going to need someone to dictate that offense, to lead it, and I think he's going to be the guy again. And I also think their guard depth isn't great. So I think as long as they compete in those games, I don't think they'll win a heap, but as long as they compete, he'll be on the floor a lot. And that's just what he does. He double-doubles with points and assists, and I think he's going to do it most games.
Nice, mate. To quote a recent coffee ad, I think that prediction is both bold... Oh, and smooth. And interesting, you mentioned the guard depth there. I noticed the game that Scotty Machado didn't play the other night in the blitz. McCall handled a lot of the ball handling responsibility, and Kenny didn't actually play any increased minutes. I think it was, if I had a big look. I haven't got it in front of me at the moment, but so you might be right there, mate. They might not be relying on Kenny. I think Kenny's like 36 or 37 years old or something along those lines now. He's almost as old as Banksy and I. So you could be onto something there, mate. But interesting price point for Machado too, 1.17 mil. So obviously he's more expensive than all those new point guards we get to look at import wise. So your Jalen Adams, your Majet, etc. So it's a bit of an interesting one. I think I'm gonna pop my in if we're done with Scotty Mac, are we? Yeah, beautiful. All right. Scotty Macchiato, bold and smooth. I'm going to go with mine. I'm going to say Withers is going to be a top three small forward. That's have you got your bold and your mildly bolds mixed up there, Bordy? Because that's definitely come from left field.
Yeah, look, I'm a bold man, and that is bolder than I am. So carry on. Tell us all about it, Bordy.
I don't know, something about him. I like the like Banksy's I like Banksy's. He's a baller. He looks like a baller. I think I was checking out his stats over in Europe, and he was putting stats up all over the place. So he had some assists, he had points, he had rebounds. You know, he's doing a little bit of everything. So yeah, I don't know. I just got a feeling. Call it a bit of a gut call, I guess.
You don't think he'll be Tony Crockett 2.0?
Ooh, that's scaring me now. I know you got me.
For me, it's got Sloan written all over it. Just having a little look, Boydy, at what he's averaged so far in the blitz, going at 25 fantasy points per game, which is not too bad, but honestly probably what he's priced at. So if he's in second gear, I'd be surprised. But I mean, what is he? He's a small forward, so he's competing against the likes of your Creeks. Let's bring up these smaller, your Pattersons, who a lot of people are big on at the 1.1. You got your. If I was to go bold, I'd say Travers will outscore him.
Oh, jeez Louise. Stepping it up there a little bit.
All right, onto mine in that case. So my moldy by bold call will be. I'll try that again. My moldy bold call will be Jalen Adams and Rathan Mays will be two of the top three scoring point guards.
You can't hedge your bets, mate. This is meant to be a call on one player, single player.
This is not hedging his bets. This is increasing the difficulty. Have you ever tried to get a multi up over the line? Come on. He's going two out of three. I know you've been high on Jalen Adams the whole preseason, Banksy, but tell us a bit more about the X-Man.
Well, he just gets me on the baller eye test. I watched the last Hawks game, and he just looks like the total package on the eye test. He does have the headband. I think one of the other Hawks had the – it is full bandana-style headband. He's got the full kit, and he just – the period of time that I watched him in that game, he just looked unbeatable. And although I think he came off the bench, it doesn't scare me off. He just looks like a points per minute beast. And, you know, outside of Majette, I think those two particularly will be right up there. Obviously, we only saw the one game from Jalen Adams, but it was enough for me. And again, I think these two were two of the players I did in the player preview video. So a little bit of bias there, but just love what I've seen in the limited blitz that we've seen from them. And they're going to be up there.
Okay. Looking forward to your outlandish Big Plums call later on. Bordy, do you have something else to add there?
Track my thoughts for a minute there. Yeah, I was going to say your point about XRM, he's not starting, and it doesn't look like he was going to start, I think, but who knows what happens there. But I think he's still going to get a big bulk of minutes because it looked like, I know there's been reports out that Nas sort of been told he's not really getting much playing time this season, and I believe that he was told to sort of shop himself around a little bit. But yeah, XRM, I think he's still going to play. Like, he might push that 30 minutes a game sort of along with their, you know, Harvey, etc. So I'm not really too unconfident about having him.
And I should have put out there as well, Ratham Mays just running at a 41.5 fantasy points per game clip in the blitz, and I think there's better to come.
Denham, you got any thoughts on Jalen or Xavier?
Yeah, I was just going to say with Xavier that I think he fits almost like, I feel like a McCarron role, where they have a lot of scorers when you think Harvey, Jessup, Cleveland, you know, even the big guys, Reith and Froling, they like to do a lot of scoring. I feel like he can come in and be that, even if he is the backup point guard off the bench. He's just going to settle that offense. Assists are plenty. I think he's a bigger guy, so he can grab the boards. Like, he's not necessarily going to be your 20, 25-point scorer, but I think that he might not be a triple-double threat every night, but he's maybe one of the guys that will get closest to that this year.
Beautiful. Love those stats. And looked at McCarron today, as you suggested, and he kind of went close today, didn't he, with the 5 steals and assists, rebounds, and points as well. So, my mildly bold call is that Xavier Cooks will be the top scorer in NBL fantasy this season, just running very cruising along at an average of 52.66 in the blitz so far. Obviously had some games cancelled. What really got me over the line was what Tom Hirsch, that a podcast with him, just talking about, because the threat was, you know, when the Makers and Jordy Hunter come back, what's going to happen to the minutes? And he seemed to make it like there is no way that will impact Cooks at all. And the fact, I think he's going to be, we don't really have these, but I think he's going to be a man that will lead the league in fantasy 5 pointers. He's going to go get that rebound, take off, and get the assist up the other end. So I think that's a stat that will Xavier Cooks will have plenty of this season. And Book. I mean, if you no one averaged 50, or apart from no one returning in the league this year averaged 50, and I think you can probably eclipse that. Fellas, what are your thoughts on Cooks?
Totally agree that Cooks is undervalued and will definitely be up there in the top tier, maybe the top 5 of fantasy averages this season. I guess my only slight worry, Benny, is just we obviously have Sydney slated at the very top tier of the rankings or predictions, if you like, from the teams this season. And there's going to be a lot of mouse to feed. And obviously we've highlighted in our previous preseason podcasts, they're stacked in the big man department. So I know we state that he's likely to run at the 3, but still there's going to be a lot of mouse to feed at Sydney when they're totally healthy.
Yeah, I mean, based on the blitz, it's looking like you're a shoe-in there, or not really a shoe-in, but I think it's very, very... you could be pretty confident with that call, I think, mate. But yeah, I just worry a little bit with how much they've, how many players they've got to come, because you're looking, they've got at least 2 in their starting 5 to come back. Then you got DJ, 3J coming back. There's some saying late December, early January, I think, so I've heard them say. So let's say January. So he's still going to play a fair chunk of basketball there too as well. And that's another mouth to feed. So who knows?
I don't know that you can say confident. If you can reiterate what he said. He said the top scorer in fantasy. He didn't say he'll be up there. He said he'll be the top scorer, and you're calling that he should be confident in that. No. Thoughts, Denham?
It's above Vic Law. It's above Bryce Cotton. There's some big guys he's got to beat to take that out. I think you're right with Sydney. There's a lot of mouths to feed there, and the scoring might not necessarily translate. But when you think about Adams, he's not necessarily a pass-first point guard or a traditional point guard. So somebody on that team's got to be passing the ball. And if it's Cooks that's bringing the ball down, then you might be right with the assists. And he's obviously going to get boards as well. So there's going to be points there for him. And I think, you know, he's showing us in the blitz what he can do. So it's not a bad call.
Denham, someone I'm weighing him up against in my current team is a player that you are now suggesting, you've mentioned, should I say, in your outlandish prediction. So give us that.
Yes. So my very, very bold call here, and I'm, you know, ready to get laughed at about this. I am saying Mitch Creek will not be a top three small forward.
I am actually in the boat here with you, Denham.
Yes.
I am actually on board with this as well. I know that some others will disagree. There's some that are really big on Creek returning to his best form this season. But also something that's been highlighted is Sem is stacked. They're totally stacked. There's only so many fantasy points to go around in that team. I think we even saw it again. I didn't actually watch the game today, but I certainly looked at how many minutes Creek played and how he went with those other stats. And now I think it's back-to-back games there where he's now struggled to get the rebounds we've seen from last season.
I think that could be a problem all year, really, with the height they've got there.
Yep, totally agree. So I question, like you probably are with that prediction, whether he can pad those other stats. I have no doubt that he's going to probably average around the 20 points per game, actual physical game points, but I question whether, you know, if people are saying that Brokoff's going to ball out this season, they're stacked in the big man department where they haven't been in prior seasons, is he going to get these rebounds? Is he going to get those other stats that we've known Creek to get to get that fantasy average we're used to?
Yeah, and I'm really high on South Melbourne this year. I think they're going to be a really good team, and I think that just comes with, like we talked about Sydney, there's a lot of guys there that are just really solid players. So I think with Creek, you know, you talk about those padding stats that he gets when he double-doubles with rebounds. I think they're not going to be there this year for him to get. And I think they might have even, like, the strategy of bringing in a guy like Chi to play with Pinot is so that they can secure those boards and get Creek running more. I don't think they're going to want him rebounding more.
Such a good point. And as a Phoenix fan, that is what I want to see, right? So on that, for people that might be listening, we posted some footage on our Twitter feed of the cheese roll of the ankle. And obviously he's away playing for China at the moment against Japan. Was described as a mild sprain. It looked pretty painful, so something to watch out for in regards to that. Now, going to pass the mic to Boydie for your next prediction.
Alrighty, so we're talking outlandish predictions here, and you know, if people have listened to previous prediction pods, I'd like to go a little bit bold. Let's say bolder than the others maybe in the room at the moment. So look, I might go for an old timer here. I'm feeling it. I reckon. If I go for an all-timer, will you give me two? Can I chuck a small one in there? Okay. All right. This is possibly the biggest call. Banksy will be top bloke for the season.
Ooh.
I'm serious. I'm actually serious about this. He's actually put himself on a preseason. He's been playing some sort of NBA fantasy. He's all about it. He's up and about it. He's wearing new shorts around. He's got some new gear on. He's getting a bit cheeky. I'm surprised he hasn't popped up with a gold chain himself like Denham's got on all over there in Perth. So that's what I'm going to go with, I think, as my outlandish. Oh, you're going to give me another one? Okay. I reckon McCormie maybe will be the top scoring shooting guard and small forward. So I think he's going to both. I think he's going to lead both. I just think he's putting up the stats everywhere. He's averaging 50-odd, although he averaged 50-odd for these first couple of games, and then he's gone downhill from there. Those numbers were heavily influenced, I think, by turnovers. And as I mentioned before, in Kansas' last game, he was handling the ball a lot, which I think there was a bit more pressure on him. He's not a point guard. So I just think it was a bit too much, maybe. But I think I think he's going to be real good. And like I think Dana mentioned before, that's the schedule's not very friendly, so it's not one where you can really just sign him in and go nuts. But yeah, it's a bit of a tough one.
Well, look, it is supposed to be an outlandish prediction, Boydie, and I think it is exactly that. If we just look at who he's in competition against to take out both the top shooting guard and small forward positions in fantasy this season, you're talking names like Bryce Cotton, easy. Nathan Sobey, easy. Mitch Creek, easy. Tyler Harvey, oh. Cleveland, and that's just to begin with. There's Patterson, Lamar Patterson, like there's just so many names there he'll be competing with, so good luck.
It is supposed to be outlandish, and I think that small forward, look, we've just had, you know, a prediction saying that Creek, we're not expecting that big a number. So there is a chance for small forward. It is that shooting guard spot where you're really going to be up against it. But, yeah, you got more to add?
Remember, Withers has got to be a top three SVF as well.
All right. Denim. Any thoughts on – just tell us what you think about McCall. I don't know if you see much of him, but just your general thoughts anyway.
From what I've seen in the preseason, I really like him. It sucks about the schedule because I think – and it also sucks because I think even before the preseason, I was really high on him coming in, and then he started to dominate, and I think everyone's got him in their team at some point or had him in their team at some point since then. But, yeah, the schedule makes it tough to pick him, but I think you're right. I think he's going to be that, you know, he's putting up scores of 40, 50, 60 in the preseason. And even those bad ones he had, he still passed the eye test, I think, even though he had those turnovers and he was scoring 25-ish. I watched those games and I still really liked what I saw. He was pushing the pace and he was still, even some of the turnovers, he's trying to make plays. And I think for Cairns, again, a team that I'm not so high on, I don't know how much they'll compete this year. Him and Machado are the top dogs on that team almost. They're going to be the ones that are pushing the pace and trying to make plays. And I think when they do that right, I think McCall's going to come off with some massive games. So I do like him a lot.
Nice, mate. I know you mentioned the eye test there, so I'm going to put you in the hot seat. What about my other outlandish call about Banksy possibly being the top bloke? What do you think?
Passes the eye test, that's for sure.
All right, so moving on to my graze over that. Moving on to my outlandish prediction. If we think back, I did quite well with these last season with my Giddy and Mooney calls, but this season I'm going to go with Big Willie Magne will lead the league by fantasy average.
Ooh.
That might sound like a big call, but he's only just returned. I know we've sort of highlighted in past podcasts, but we've got to think back. It's two seasons since he sort of worked his way up to get that start partway through the season. And once he got that role, he made it his own. He was averaging between 50 and 60 fantasy points per game over those first six games as a starter. And he's got another two seasons under his belt. I think, again, we rule out what happened with Perth last season. He came into that system partway through the season. That was pretty tough on him. He came back bigger than normal out of the NBA as well, as Liam highlighted. And, you know, he's back. He's leaner this season. He's only just being introduced from a minutes perspective. So he's got a lot of improvement to come yet as the season kicks off. And, yeah, I just think he's going to be bouncy this season, more athletic. And if you want to think back to last season with speaking about, obviously, Mooney, I just think he's a more athletic version of John Mooney, if you like.
Well, I would like that. That would be good. You don't happen to have any, like, obviously at his peak, do you have any numbers? I know we've got that on our website. I think you might have mentioned that after that breakout game against Bogut two seasons ago, he kind of averaged something like 50 points or something along those lines. So he does have that ceiling. There was something like that, wasn't it, Banksy?
Yeah, it was around that mark because he only got the start partway through the season. And unfortunately for you, Benny, I think it was the week after you traded him out, that renowned trade that you'd like to forget. But yeah, I mean, also what I look at with these blitz games, there's only so much you can read into it. But I mean, I don't know if it's the last blitz game or the one before for Tassie, they got absolutely pummeled. They lost by 30 points. And I think even speaking with you, Boydie, because you were actually watching the game firsthand, I didn't actually get to see it. But you went out of your way to say that Magne was having a bit of a stinker, and he still put up close to 40 points in probably a worst case scenario. So if that's his floor, I'm fine with that, and we're going to see a lot bigger games from him this season if that's his floor.
Beautiful. So look, we've had a few similar sort of projections here. So Denham thinks Creek will be outside the top three small forwards. That's great. Boydie thinks that McCall will be the top shooting guard. He can have that. Small forward, I don't think so. He's also said Withers can be a top three forward. He can have second or third, because my man, Luke Travers, will be the top scoring small forward this season. Glad we don't all have mics. I can hear Denham laughing, but the other look, I'm serious. I'm a bit follically challenged. So the hair does do things for me, as far as impressing me. But look, it's the small forward position as a whole. We had Creek, who last year averaged 43. In the room, we're not all that high on what he's going to do. Lamar, at his best, was a 45. Is he back to his best? Potentially. The new imports in the position. McCall, I rate, he's good. He would be the next best, I think. But Withers, Frazier, we don't have any of those Scotty Hobson types that are going to come in and dominate the league at small forward, as far as I can see. Garda in the same boat. Travers averaged 40 in his last three games to finish the season. He's got to have more opportunity now than he did. In his last four Blitz games, he averaged 43. I've put him at about that 45 mark. I think he can do it. But there's talk, Liam's talking the 5x5 game. I haven't worked out what that would be in fantasy points, but it'd be bloody nice. So I'm putting him at 45, and I'm not that high on the position as a whole. So that is my big plums, Miles Plumley call of the year. What do you guys think?
It's bold, I'll give it that. But look, I probably wouldn't go 45, but he definitely is going to be up there. I think what I really like about LT is the defensive side of the game from a fantasy perspective. He's been going two blocks, two steals a game. I mean, he's price-wise, he's priced at about an average of 15 fantasy points per game, and he's going to be getting that just in his defensive stats. So that's a good building block to start with before you look at his increased opportunity and role he's going to have with the Wildcats early, obviously with Toddy Blanchfield out. I don't know how long Blanchfield will be out, so that might come into this equation a bit later on in the season. That could change things up a little bit, but I love that call, Benny.
Benny's face just changed a little bit when we mentioned the word Blanchfield there. I think maybe you forgot to think about that, I believe, possibly. Who knows? I won't use the same line I used last year when Mooney was brought up in these same predictions, because we're trying to keep G-rated. But I think without using the word bold, because I think it's already been mentioned about 15,000 times today, I'm going to say that call is mildly unrealistic, to say the least. I actually think my outlandish call about Banksy winning top bloke has got more chance than the Travers one. All right, mate. Switching gears a little bit. Fantasy MVP. Who have you got for us, Denham?
I've put Josh McGett in my team because I think that when I talk about fantasy MVP, I think we talk about consistency, guys who you don't have to worry about, you know. And I think he's going to be a guy that most people start with. And I think he's going to be a guy that pretty much everyone ends with, because especially from what I've seen in the Blitz and just the structure of their team, I think him and Magne are a combo, like a duo that are going to work really well together, even if, you know, I know it's their inaugural season and I know that we're not necessarily, you know, we don't have any past data to go on, but I feel like those two are just steady, like set guys. You spoke about Magne before. I think he's going to be really, really good. And I think Majette's right there with him. I think, like, if you start with him, you might, schedule depending, you may not have to trade him out all year. So,
hey, I like that. And I think the key word we picked up on here that you mentioned is consistency. And I guess these are the things you need to be thinking about if you want to be a champion of the NBL fantasy game, mate, because consistency is very important. And what you've said about Majette, and I've been hot on him for a while. If you watch my video preview, player preview on Majette, you would have seen that. I just think he is a Jet, I think. And I think he's going to be very good for that Jack Jumpers team as well. Coincidentally, I have gone with the Jack Jumper as well, and I have gone with two-way Magne for my thing. Just the same thing. I've basically, those two in a combo, I would almost say are going to be a perfect pair for your fantasy team for the same situation, same reasoning, consistency. I think having that point guard in Majette there is just going to be elite for Magne, and I think, you know, he's going to be on the boards, he's going to be on the blocks. He's been all over the shot so far already. So I just think, and he's, you know, he's a little bit cheaper than those new import prices. So I'm going to say, you know, he's a little bit of a bargain there, not much, but go from there. What do you guys think of our JJ's pairing?
Well, firstly, I'll just touch on Denham's. I really like the Majette call. Consistency is key, and he's averaged 46.6 fantasy points per game in the Blitz, and he's always been around that mark for each of those games. And, you know, we've seen it pretty much every game. As I said with LT, Majette's in the same basket. He loves the defensive stats. He's been pretty much getting four steals a game, and that's the foundation you want for a game-to-game fantasy score. I would like to ask you, Denham, just while I've got you, though. So you obviously mentioned in your mildly bold call that Machado would be top three. Majette, totally different player, but I see his numbers being sort of on par of Machado from two seasons back. How do you see those two playing out average v average there?
I think it will be close. I think I want – it's a tough one because I think Machado is going to do really well, but I want Majette to be better because I'm – going to pick Majette, and I'm probably not going to pick Machado based on schedule. But Majette is just, I think you're right. I think those, you talk about his 40s that he's scoring in the Blitz. I think that's about where he's going to be, 40 to 45. And I think I'm going to predict that he doesn't quite top Machado because I think probably responsibility as well isn't quite as heavy as Machado's is going to be on a Cairns team with not many options. Whereas, you know, Magne, I'm really high on as well. And I think even Adams can score a lot on that Jack Jumpers team. So I think Majette's not quite got the responsibility that Machado does, but I think just experience and consistency with him is gonna hold him in good stead. So if I say Machado is gonna be the best point guard, let's put Majette at two.
like it a lot. And look, if you want to call it upside, if those Steph Curry logo attempts from Majette start to drop, well, then there might be a little bit of upside on that 46.5 heading into the season as well. Getting to yours, Bordy, I think there's a little bit of safety in your call, if you want to call it that. Following my outlandish prediction that Magne will lead the league, you've gone on and made him fantasy MVP, making it very hard to have a dig at that one. So well played, but very safe. All right, we'll move on to mine, and probably playing this safe now I've gone and said that, because I've just realized that my fantasy MVP I popped down. And when we talk fantasy MVP, it's not necessarily the guy that's going to average the most in the league or finish with the most fantasy points, but just the overall MVP. Obviously, we like to call Pinot as a fantasy MVP from seasons past. So, you know, sort of that price versus value versus fantasy point output, if you like. But I'm going to go with LT. I just think where he's situated with his price, he's going to be the most heavily owned player, particularly with the Perth schedule. I think he offers tremendous upside, as Benny's covered off there, and those defensive numbers are going to be a fantasy win for owners.
We haven't got your thoughts on LT yet, Denham. What do you think of Travis?
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. And as a Perth fan, I want him to do well as well. But I think just, you've probably mentioned it all, but I think just, and he's a high energy guy as well, Travis. I think he really wants to dominate. And I think probably, you know, he was somewhat on the radar of draft guys before last year and probably trailed off throughout the year. So I think he strikes me as a guy that would really want to get back to that and has all the opportunity with Blanchfield out. I mean, we assume he's going to start. And I think, you know, based on the blitz and his defensive stats, I think he's going to perform as well.
Beautiful. Well, I'm a Houston Rockets fan, so I'm all over draft Twitter, and I do predict that he'll get up the rankings. So, look, my fantasy MVP is probably going to be pretty obvious after what I've said. It's obviously Todd Withers. So obviously Luke Travers. For all the things I've said before, I'm not going to go through them again, other than to say that I do think that he is, of all the guys that I've seen so far, next stars, which they've all looked good, I thought. Like, I don't see how he doesn't compare to those guys that are already on the draft boards. They all have looked impressive, and I would say that Travers is in that tier, and I think that will end up in him being drafted. And I hope to celebrate as he does get drafted after being the fantasy MVP. What do you got, Boydie?
Yeah, I think the his haircut probably goes for him there in that draft spot, because I know that Giddy's getting a lot of fandom about the haircut, the mop, the Aussie mop, or whatever he's getting, whatever they're running with. So I'm not sure what they'll give Travers to do that. So that's good. I'm going to say a couple of red flags with you guys picking Travers. Blanchfield coming back, Frazier coming back, Sherville coming back. I mean, I know none of those guys are maybe, well, Blanche is going to start with him, but Sherville's going to get minutes, all right? And I think he's going to be a bit up and down. Like, I know Denham talked about it before, consistency's key with fantasy. I think he's still a young guy. I think he's going to have some stinkers, but I think he's going to have some awesome games as well, and that's what's maybe going to peg him back in my, you know, putting him up there as a possible fantasy MVP, I think. So that's about it. I think if you've got nothing else to add for us over there, Denham, we might wrap it up. Hang on a second. Banksy's calling me.
We couldn't finish off without me asking, Denham. I know you're an avid AFL fantasy player as well, and obviously there's a lot of people that play that game. But as you know, even with the odds against people, we actually saw the same winner take out the overall AFL fantasy competition two seasons running, back-to-back. How do you rate yourself with going back-to-back and being the first, as far as I'm aware, overall winner to win back-to-back titles?
Yeah, no chance. I'm telling everyone it's very, very doubtful.
Yeah, how many mates are into NBL fantasy and they know that you took it out, mate? Obviously,
a lot of them know about it. I'm trying to get them all on board, as many as I can. I'm hoping to get a league going with them all this year. Probably just so that I can take it out, because I know none of them know much about it.
Nice, mate. That's a good plan. And I know all our patrons are pretty happy with you being in the chat now, mate, on Discord chat. So you're always popping up there and saying a few things too, which is really good. Thanks for joining us. As always, we can be found at bball_blokes on Twitter, Basketball Blokes on Facebook, and www.basketballblokes.com on the interwebs. Denham, do you want to shout out your Twitter or you don't want to?
Nah, feel free to follow me on Twitter at dmelrose41.
Beautiful. And that about wraps us up. So until the next pod, ciao.